everyone. Welcome to, I feel like I just took such a big breath. Welcome to another solo episode of V the People. I think I'm potentially getting a summer cold. I'm not really 100% sure. But if I were to be filming this, you would see just how sunken deep into my couch I actually am, because I feel like I can't keep my eyes open. Which also brings me to, I feel like at some point I'm going to have to cave and start filming these fun little episodes, but I just don't have it in me quite yet. I feel like there's a part of me that's resisting because I'm just being stubborn, and I'm like, but it's a podcast. Like, isn't the whole point to feel like we don't have to put on mascara? But then at the same time, I just think it's 2026 and we should be able to have some clips out there in the world wide web. So anyways, that was a tangent. If you are still listening, if you keep coming back, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to spend a little portion of your day with me. I feel like the world is either extremely serious or completely unserious, and there's like no in between. I don't know if it's just because my morbid curiosity and my sense of humor are like at such a weird intersection, but my TikTok algorithm just goes from like crazy simulations of crashes and then, you know, just like stupid humor. So there's a lot of content out there, which is what I'm trying to say in a not so eloquent way. And if you're still taking the time to spend some of your consumption with me, I just want you to know that I really appreciate it, because my brain lately is really just filled with headlines, reality TV, and political blasphemy, really. Okay, so let's get into what I'm watching, which should actually be a study in emotional whiplash, because I'm just kind of all over the place right now. I do want to talk about, I can't think of the title, but it's the brand new LDS cult documentary on Netflix, which it should be like on your home screen when you first log on. If it's not, I'm very curious what you watch, because I think it's in like the top 10 right now. Came out over the weekend and it's 3 or 4 episodes. It's a dark, disturbing, impossible to look away from, and just so many like how is this real moments. But basically it's kind of like after the major fallout of the main leader of the Church of Latter-day Saints, whose name I think is like Warren something, and sort of like what happened to all the people, which they make a really good point in the beginning of the docuseries, which is that, you know, there's all this journalism out there and there's all these documentaries and TV shows about how cults fall apart, but then we rarely kind of get to see what happens in the days to follow. And so this really does follow that. And it's this couple that moves to the area and they basically infiltrate into this sort of like break off branch of LDS with this guy who ends up having like I don't even know how many wives, some of whom are underage, and it's just crazy. It's all about using a belief system for manipulation and control, which of course is like, you know, the idea of a cult. But I feel like it's one of those documentaries where you're seeing everything firsthand. Like they are in with the wives, and so you're seeing how they live, you're seeing what they think, you're seeing what they think about their husband. They're basically conditioned to never speak ill of him, and There's really only one whistleblower who kind of kicks it all off, but it's just wild. If you're into that kind of stuff, if you don't mind things getting a little dark and disturbing, just prepare to have your mind blown. I also think it's oddly important to expose ourselves to those kinds of shows. Because I did have certain moments where I was like, you know, we're not that far off from things that go on in cults. When you think about politics and the separation of church and state and religion and a lot of the things that we center in our everyday lives and the morals and societal norms. Like, I know obviously cults are just an extreme and radicalized version of a belief system, but it's also just a little bit eye-opening to see it from the outside, because I don't know, the whole Artemis landing has got me thinking in a very existential way, where I'm just like, we're just people floating on a rock in space, and like all the things we do are just because we've been conditioned to do them, which I know is like, that's getting really intense, but it's true. And so anyways, I was having these moments whilst watching, but I would give it a solid 10 out of 10 as far as like the wow factor goes and keeping me really engaged, and also just trying to understand why this happens, where it's coming from. Then a couple of quick hits, things I've been watching. I finished Shrinking, which if you're not on board with that show, I feel like a broken record. You need to get on board. It's so good. It is heartfelt. It's like the perfect amount of cheese. And if you're not watching, I just don't trust you, because it's amazing. And the season finale really just got all the emotions going. I don't want to give anything away, but it's something you could like watch with your parents if you have boomer parents, or, you know, multiple generations. It's a goodie. The new season of Hacks came out on Thursday. They're doing like one episode drops a time, which I understand, I get it, but I love Hacks. I specifically love Jean Smart. I feel like she made me a born again lesbian, and I'm just here for everything about her acting, her talent. Deborah Vance, like Jean Smart as Deborah Vance, which by the way, I saw Jean Smart in her one woman show on Broadway called Call Me Izzy, and she was just as, if not better, of an actor in person as she is on TV. So shout out Jean Smart if you're listening. Okay. And I'm also just in a Bravo spiral because I can't keep up. They just dropped The Real Housewives of Rhode Island, which I think there's only two episodes, and I'm already living for these women. There's new episodes coming out of Beverly Hills every week, The Valley and Southern Hospitality, and of course Summer House, which is really like my whole personality, and it feels like a full-time job. So when am I going to start getting paid for all of this content and thinking that I'm doing surrounding these shows? Yeah, it's my escape, but it's also becoming my downfall. So there's that. I'm not going to recap every Bravo show unless there's like super hot tea, and to be totally frank, I don't have the energy right now to dive into the Amanda Bettula West Wilson of it all. Obviously, you know, Team Sierra goes without saying. I actually think I recorded my last solo episode like the night before this news broke, and so I was very invested. And now, obviously, like if you're not following along, there's so much more, and the reunion hasn't been filmed yet. So, you know, cameras are going to come back up, and it's kind of wild to be watching the season unfold retroactively, which I know we always do, but like knowing what we know now, it's very similar to how I felt when Scandoval happened, and we already knew that it happened, but then we were like watching the season back and looking for clues. And so it's kind of fun. I feel like it's very like fan, what's the word I'm looking for? Audience participation almost. And I get it. Like, it's reality TV. How much of it is real? How much of it is just edited and produced? But I love it. Okay. I don't know why I feel like I'm having to defend it, but here we are. So Bravo is just consuming me as per usual. However, I did also watch another heavy documentary, which is the Mariah Wilson documentary. I can't remember if I talked about it on my last solo episode. If you haven't watched it, it's just one. It's a movie. It's a full documentary. And I think that I had watched like a 2020 special on it because I remembered the fact that I don't want to give anything away. This is the hard thing, is like, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's like some really interesting things that happen that I just couldn't believe. So quick spoiler alert, the woman who actually murdered Mariah ends up fleeing and evading capture for like, I want to say it was like 21 days. Like, I think it was 3 weeks. She ends up like moving into this, I want to say like small town village in Costa Rica, and she underwent plastic surgery and dyed her hair and like stole her sister's passport. Really just was actually kind of smart. And sometimes I am one of those people that when you're doing such a good job getting away with something, even though it's illegal, there's like a small part of me that's like, good for you. Like, that's crazy. How did you do that? I'm not saying I condone it. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's impressive. Anyways, this documentary, very sad, very heavy. But one of those stories that I think kind of stick with me just because it feels really senseless. I don't know. I don't want to give too much away about it. But if you have the time and it's like, you know, a Friday night and you order Thai takeout and you pour yourself a glass of red wine and you're like, I just want like one solid hour and 20 minute long movie, this is what you want. And if you have any good recent true crime docs, please send them my way, because apparently I just love feeling unsettled. So there we have it. one or two quick other bonus pop culture moments, and apologies for whatever's happening in my throat currently. If you didn't watch the Laguna Beach reunion, it was everything I could have asked for. I don't really understand why the woman who hosted. She's like a perpetual best friend. I think her name's Casey. Is it Casey Wilson? That doesn't sound right. She's great. I love her. But like, I didn't understand the connection to Laguna Beach. I would have loved to have seen it been like multiple episodes, maybe on Peacock, like maybe get Andy in there, maybe get some Stassi. I want like someone more well-known and reputable to be hosting a reunion. I also am one of those people who I immediately go on everyone's Instagrams on the cast and see who they're following politically to know where they stand. So if you're interested in that, just send me a DM and I can tell you who's on the right side of history currently. But it's not Jess. I'll tell you that much. It's not Jess. I loved the nostalgia of it all. It was very cool to hear them reflect on the fashion and what it was like to film in high school and kind of have like some moments that they were able to find resolve. But there were also moments that I was like, no, like that was douchey and you're still not fully taking accountability for it, mainly with Steven. But if you don't know me, I was very into Laguna Beach and the Hills. I actually made my AIM screen name Boy Meets Laguna when I was in like seventh grade, because it was Boy Meets World and Laguna Beach together. So if that doesn't really just give you an idea of how obsessed I was, I asked for the like 3-part DVD series of, I think Laguna Beach only had 2 seasons. Did they try to have a 3rd season? I honestly don't remember, but basically, I was obsessed. And so obviously when The Hills came out, I followed it. It's also one of my comfort shows. Like every year or two, I will just rewatch The Hills from the beginning because it just brings me some weird comfort. But anyways, I loved the way that they revisited a lot. But I also was kind of like, you know, there were only a couple of you I needed to hear from. Like, I didn't need to hear about how much Christina loves Jesus and how her and Morgan come together with their faith. You know what I mean? I didn't need to know that. I think, like, I want to just remember Morgan getting rejected from BYU on the beach in her cool sunglasses. So, do I recommend it? I don't know. If you're a super fan, I would say give it a go. But it's kind of like not maybe meeting your heroes in the best light. Other than, of course, Kristen and LC have just grown up to obviously be progressive and women supporting women and just all around very cool. So I'm here for that. And then what was the other? Oh, the other pop culture moment. I just need everyone to be aware of the Alex Earl, Alex Cooper drama. We hate pitting women against each other, but the discourse on TikTok is getting intense, and I would highly recommend just keeping one ear on the ground and making sure you know what's going on, because, you know, there's a lot of bullshit happening out in the world, and this can just be something that, like, distracts us, I guess. So anyways, last but not least, I do want to talk about my last segment, which is something we don't talk about enough. I am someone who doesn't have kids. This might be a little bit controversial. And I feel like if you're one of my close girlfriends and we want to talk about that and have like a heart to heart, that's one thing. But as someone who has a sibling that has kids who I love more than anything on the earth, like I love them. I'm obsessed with them. It's so interesting to have parents that are grandparents, but not through like the lens of you. I don't know if you were able to follow all of that, but in this era of my life where my parents have become grandparents, but not to my own kids, and watching how that affects my relationship to them, it's a hard thing to navigate. And I feel like it's something we don't talk about enough. Like there's plenty of people out there for whatever reason, whether they choose to or not, end up not having kids. And I think right now, like if you do have kids, there is such, obviously, like as a grandparent, they should be there for them and super involved. And I love that. And I wouldn't want it any other way. But I don't think that that should kind of supersede also making sure that you're investing all of the same time and energy into your kids who don't have kids. And this is not me like coming down to my parents, because they're amazing, but it's something that I've been reflecting on and something I picked up on and something I've noticed and also something I've heard other people talking about. And I feel like people are scared to talk about it because it feels controversial or it feels bratty or it feels selfish. But in my experience, it's just a part of life and it's a part of adjusting and navigating new dynamics and new relationships. And there's nothing wrong with just bringing it to the table and saying, like, can we talk about this? And can we make sure that, you know, I'm feeling like a priority too, or that we're on the same page and we're communicating. So I don't really know exactly what my point is, but if you're someone who's in a similar boat to me, or if you see it differently, pop into my DMs and let's chat about it. And if I'm also just not making any sense at all, you can let me know, but I think I am. So that's my something we don't talk about enough, which is just normalizing the choice and reframing how we look at it. So, yeah, I also want everyone to know that I freaking love being a chuchi. So if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's Aunt in Polish. If you've been listening this whole time, I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate that you're still here. And I have a really exciting guest coming up next week. I cannot wait for you to hear her. So thanks a lot. Bye.